Grab your beverages and turn up your interweb. Solving the world's problems 12 ounces at a time. It's Dudes and Beer.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to episode 114 of the Dudes and Beer podcast. I am Chris Jordan, your host, back in Austin, Texas, live here in the cave. I am here with, as always, Stephen Bishop and Julie Connolly.
Hola.
We are also joined by Jeffrey Gottlieb, who joined us on a cookout episode long, long ago, as well as the awesomely awesome
100th episode,
Christopher J. Oglesby, local Austin artist, deep thinker, former lawyer, all kinds of stuff. Just, you know, like he runs the gamut. It's amazing.
Friend once called me a Renaissance man, and I said it was probably more ADD.
All right. Fair enough.
Guardrail to guardrail.
The scientific term.
The
medical term for it.
Well, and when we get back, we're just going to kind of sit. We've just been sitting back and chatting about all kinds of stuff. So that's basically what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to have a lighter side episode and sit back and talk about things that we've seen going on and things like that right after this message from our sponsor.
Have you ever thought about brewing your own beer? Is the urge to brew there, but you just don't know how to get started? Well, Dudes and Beer is here to help. Stop on by the new Dudes and Beer Amazon store and check out all the great brewing supplies and gear today. We have it all, from instructional books and do-it-yourself kits for beginners to 16-gallon cooking vessels, carboys, bottling supplies, and cleaners for all you homebrew pros out there. Everything you need to brew your favorite beverages, even distilling equipment. So stop on by the official Dudes and Beer store today and get your hand on the greatest new brewing essentials. Simply visit dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab. Once again, that website is dudesandbeer.com and click the Dudes and Beer store tab today. Happy brewing, everybody. And until next time, drink responsibly.
And we are back. So, before we actually started recording, we were talking about all kinds of crazy adventures in life, things like that. And there's been some stuff in the news lately about the young man who actually passed right after he was returned from North Korea.
That was crazy, man.
And, I will admit the fact I crossed over a border like that and it got pretty dangerous.
Right.
I remember my buddy Derek and I were on a train from Budapest and it was supposed to go north, and instead it went south. And at the time it was the mid-90s and the whole Bosnian conflict was going on.
I was going to say, you could end up in a war doing that.
Oh no, like we saw it like out in the distance in the window. They came in a language that we didn't understand and were like, these tickets are no good here. It's like, where's here? Slovenia. It's like, great. Well, and literally started walking down the train with our passports. And it's like, no, wait, hold on, man. Like, whoa. So crazy things happen at moments like that. And it's just, it's wild to see that even nowadays it still happens. You know, even with the guy randomly apparently going across the border in North Korea. I don't know how you don't see a pretty well demarcated border myself.
I think he knew he was there, didn't he?
Did he?
I thought so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apparently he tried to remove a propaganda poster.
Yeah, he took a poster down for a friend.
There's actual video of it.
And the secret police
guy. There was a video of it. Actually, him taking it down.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, that's just destruction of property. That's
really, 10 years of hard labor?
I think it was more like 15.
Hey,
if I'm
was
not
it
15?
Yeah.
It may have been in a limited edition. Who knows how many of those posters they actually put out?
How many millions?
It was North Korea. They could have killed him with an aircraft, anti-aircraft gun.
Yeah. They could have done anything that they wanted.
Well, what's even more harsh is the condition he came back in. That was
not okay.
Yeah, no, it was crazy wrong.
That's BS.
Well, we see it all the time, even with the American justice system.
Yeah.
I was talking with a friend of mine about that yesterday, about how people just tend to get railroaded with stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I frequently will have someone come up to me and who happens to know that I'm an attorney, and they'll say, hey, a cop did this to me, blah, 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 blah. Can they do that? And I said, well, if he did it to you, then they can do it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you just described to me the fact that they can do
they
that.
Did. So and they did. He had so, the ability to do it, so he
whether
did it.
A court someday later on down the road may decide that that is going to happen, that's a whole other story.
Whether they
can do it, if they did it to you, then yes, sir, they can do that to you.
Because, I think the phrase is asked and answered.
Yes. Like you just told me that they can do that because you told me they did it.
So. Whether it's actionable in the future is something...
has nothing to do with it. And I've been on the receiving end of that where, you know...
Yeah.
You know, described some roughing up by a cop that once happened to me. That's a whole other story that I won't get into. To some of my friends who were lawyers, and they're like, I would have been saying this and this... And I would have said, no, you wouldn't have.
No,
absolutely, you would not have been.
You would have been going,
yes, sir, give me another one,
please. You would have been eating a billy club.
Please, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for hitting me. That's what you would
yeah,
be saying.
Like
thank you, sir, may have another.
Yeah.
That felt great.
Well, and that's just it. When the situation
is really
messing up. My mother hits harder than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or that. Yeah.
Or that.
May I suggest using your nightstick, officer?
I see a taser in that belt.
A mama
your hand
joke
looks really tired.
Is always appropriate.
Well, and I think most of the issue that we have, especially
you're
with,
asking for it.
With that, yeah. Is just poor response training. Poor response training. I'm trying to remember. I want to say it was Utah that had like zero police-related shootings this last year.
Whoa.
Because of the insane amount of readiness training.
They need a Nobel Peace Prize.
Where it was, you know, actually training them like how to react to people, how to react to certain situations, how to not overreact, you know. And
how to not shoot somebody just because they're crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Austin has a little problem with that.
Just a
we
little.
We do.
A little bit.
We do.
Or because they have a dog.
Yeah.
Like their dog gets loose, so they shoot them and the dog.
Yeah.
CBS Sunday Morning Show this last weekend had Dick Gregory, a story about him. And it was a great thing that I think should be on T-shirts. And he said, if cops were going around shooting people's dogs as often as they're shooting black people... people would be up in arms. Like, are you kidding me? You're shooting dogs like that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And I thought that...
exactly.
Should,
so,
that
telling.
Should be on a t-shirt. Really,
exactly.
Because it's like... really?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's a human being.
But people would be, though.
Yeah.
They would be.
I mean, if cops were randomly shooting dogs or barking and loud or scaring them in some way... whenever they wanted to.
Yeah.
Which is...
they were guilty of walking while
phone-legged.
I don't
want to accuse cops of doing things, but you do see that a lot. I'm not saying every cop's willing to do that, but why do you keep seeing that? It is something... I'm not going to say every priest is a pedophile, but that is it does seem to be an occupation that attracts pedophiles.
It is.
And I'm not saying every cop is a gun-happy bully, but it's a great... If you are a gun-happy bully, it's a really good job for you to have.
Sure. And a really good friend of Stone Winchester, who's been on the show before.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that yesterday.
And it's a hard job to recruit people into.
Because
so, I mean, if you're likely...
you know
what I'm saying?
Like I was a seminarian for
why would
a year.
You want to be a cop?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one reason why you might like to be a cop, is because you like to bully.
Right? I get to beat people.
It's not the same as what it used to be. You know what I mean?
Also, I do believe that 80% of cops are people who genuinely believe that they're there to help people.
Yes.
I mean, I do think that most people who are cops, like most people who are priests or clergymen, are too.
That's right.
Well.
But they are great. It's a great cover.
Right.
You have to think
better than
one.
Being a garbage man if you want to go beat people. I don't know. What's
Because I mean, I can
just
tell you as someone, who was
know.
A seminarian, you go through some intense psychological examination.
Yeah.
Very intense. So
can't
you
be
would,
that intense.
It is intense. It's 30
Boston
days
in the 80s.
Just
saying.
I understand that. The fact is, a sociopath is a sociopath. A sociopath would easily be able to do that, just like any teacher that goes out and touches children.
Right.
You know, at the same time that that was going on in Houston, there was a Jewish rabbi and, like, you know, two Presbyterian ministers. There were a couple cops that were giving kids rides in the back of their car. And, like, some firemen. So, like, what are you going to do? Like, result to anarchy and not call the police when something happens? Because they may come molest your children
just,
while they're trying to help you?
There should be a better... What I think there should, in the cop culture, there should be less defending the people who are actually criminals that are cops.
Yeah,
because that's what happens. The cops all get around each other, and they bring them in. They go, look, this guy, he's wearing his uniform, and he's they're the thin blue line.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Well, maybe, not the bad
ones. Well, maybe it's just some mediocre crappy ones. But,
and you never hear
some of them are actually these sociopaths. In any situation.
Absolutely.
There's a certain number of population, and if there's an occupation that attracts those type of people...
Then there should be some better things in place to kind of corral them.
Yeah, there should be less protecting. Once they shoot somebody, get off their fucking bandwagon.
Yeah, right.
And let them be treated like anybody else who shot anybody else.
Exactly.
Instead of acting like that they are more justified because they're a cop for shooting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They should be equally as culpable as anybody else, regardless of the fact that they're a cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally agree.
I like it.
Yep.
Yes.
And that's my only problem with cops is the fact that they protect each other.
And that situation, that exact
from
situation.
From doing things that are illegal.
That exact situation.
And it should be not encouraged, that you wouldn't encourage anybody else to act that way.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's that the,
you would encourage them to act the way these Utah people are.
Yeah. That,
right.
That,
try
to make it safer for all of us.
Right.
Instead of thinking that, well, I've got to protect my... I'm sorry, I don't always believe the most brave, manly thing to do is pull a gun at us.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the guy who shot the naked kid who was running at him.
Yeah, that's the last resort.
He's like, well, he's crazy. He's hopped up on drugs. He's coming at me. So you shot the naked kid.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
you're such a pussy.
Do?
Yeah.
You're such a fucking scaredy cat, you big fucking cop.
Or paranoid or something.
This naked guy who doesn't have a weapon on his hand is freaking you out so fucking bad that you have to shoot him.
He was such a threat to you.
Why is that okay?
Yeah.
That's the situation where you wouldn't, no normal, if, you know, some crazy old man in the street was shooting somebody, he would be completely culpable. But if the guy's wearing a uniform,
yeah.
You know, once again, I don't want all the people calling in and saying that I hate cops.
Oh, no.
I like cops.
You're not a cop.
That person is not somebody that needs
to be a cop. Like, if I see her again, I daily thank cops whenever I see them. Like, thank you for what you do. They take on a hard responsibility in life to protect people. And unfortunately, there is that slim slice of the pie that ain't.
So they should just be more willing to weed those people
just
out. Just like they would anywhere
just
else.
Just like in any office. Like,
that's
if you work in
criticism.
If you work in an office atmosphere, there's probably about 80% of the people that are cool and you can go out and have drinks with. But there's a good slice of like 15 to 20 that you better tighten your lip up around whenever you have a drink, son, because it's going to get around.
In every population,
you know?
If that other 20% of my coworkers murdered people, we wouldn't all band around them, though, you know?
Right.
We'd be like, hey,
well, the insurance,
you know,
the insurance industry would be a whole lot more interesting.
But, I know. Imagine the claims. They would just
so, what'd you do this weekend, Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, I murdered a guy. Yeah. Oh, hey, that's really
good.
Cool. Let's not talk about that.
Let's talk about that.
Don't tell management.
Let's start a GoFundMe.
One out of 88, right?
But how was your close rate last week, Bob?
Yeah, so we're all agreeing we don't like bad cops.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think more cops should come out calling out the bad cops.
That's my only point.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I feel what you're getting at there because, I mean, you hardly ever see that. I mean, you have all these instances going on, but they all stay silent. And, I mean, it's obvious they're backing each other up on that, but... I've only heard of one case where a woman did come forward. I think it was the one where the guy was running away from the cop in the video and he shoots him in the back, right? And he kills him or whatever. And she came forward and she voiced her opinion. I think it might have been through social media. But she lost her job.
Yeah.
Because she voiced her opinion. And she was like, no, he was wrong for doing
that. Well, and there's been more than one case of that going on lately. There was a case here in Austin I want to say it was with Austin's Pizza, possibly. If not, I think it was Southside Pies, actually.
Yeah.
It was Southside
Our
Pies.
Competitor.
where quite literally, somebody on a police officer, because, you know, they give, like, a police officer discount, you know? So a cop comes in, orders a couple pies to take back to the station, and somebody writes, like, F you, pig, on the receipt.
Ooh, shit.
You know, yeah, they find out who it is, and they fire him. You know, and they cause this whole hoopla, freedom of speech, and it's like,
but you're at work. You
minimum
to,
speech.
Yeah, you know,
I mean,
you're just now defamed.
You, sound technician, yeah. And the same thing. Yeah, it's right. Like, you know,
well, you're representing.
You want to make
business.
Something of it, bro?
Exactly.
That's
when
what I'm
work.
Saying. That's bad customer
you're
service.
You are the face
the
of the business.
The guy shouldn't be fired.
Right. Exactly.
People tend to misinterpret what the First Amendment, and I've got a lawyer here, and I'm talking about this, but it's like, that means that the government can't come and throw you in jail for saying something uncomfortable. But if you are saying something uncomfortable and your employer finds out about it, your employer might say, you are bad for business.
Right.
See
you.
Absolutely.
Vaya con Dios. Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Bad for business. Well, and that's just
absolutely.
It.
Plus, usually, most businesses like cops to come in and
I want a couple of dudes hanging out in my restaurant with some guns for a few hours that have a badge that will scare away
and a lot of
guys.
Times they won't charge them for what they get.
Yeah,
no, that's true, and I'm fine with that. You know,
an extension of professional courtesies at that point.
Sure.
Oh, that's me.
Christmas
song,
giving everybody the stink eye, and it's his phone.
The stinker eye.
It wasn't ringing. I thought it was on Uber Silent. It was on Vibrate.
Like Uber Vibrate.
It was. Yeah.
This sure, Uber verb kind of goes
so,
good for everything.
Well, like. And see, like
Uber this, Uber this.
Even that, even Uber and Lyft coming back into town. It's one of those like, why did we reverse the decision on that?
Money.
The idea. Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely, it's money in the city's pocket.
It's always
money, but why?
Guaranteed.
Why? Why? Why would they not want to get the background checks of people that are driving? When it's like they've shown in other states that like Uber drivers straight up use the app to track their clientele after they were done with them. Stuff like that.
Are you somehow alleging that the Texas legislature does things because they have they're good for what are good for people? I don't have no idea what you're talking about. That has nothing to do with reality, right? Are you seriously? Maybe Uber and Lyft might have had something to do with that.
Yeah.
Maybe the fact that that our governor has made it really clear
hates
that
Austin.
He hates Austin.
Wants to cut down our trees.
Not let you. You know what's such a big fucking pain in the ass and infringes on my freedom?
What's that?
Is that I have to bring
a
sack to the grocery store.
Yes!
Yeah. I should have the freedom to have the grocery store pay extra money to buy plastic sacks to give me free sacks.
Here's my problem.
I don't have to think about taking one of the gajillion tote bags that I get for free
here's my problem.
And 90% of the time I leave them at home.
And
anyway.
The state of Texas needs to stop that. The problem with irony is that a lot of people don't get it. And I'm being not serious.
Like, it's not worth
so the governor's against that. Well, we don't want a city telling people they can't have plastic bags if they fucking want them.
Wait, is that going to get reversed?
No, it already has been.
What?
Yeah. What?
But I love my tote bags.
Oh, no, you can absolutely bring your own tote bags.
You can still do that.
Well, no,
like,
obviously.
But the city can't tell this.
I used to work at Randall's grocery
store. That'll cost you about $2 extra.
I used to work at Randall's grocery store in the 90s, and they bragged about their plastic bags being made out of 90% recycled plastic. It was like UV compostable and stuff like that, that like under UV light would decompose.
So that might have been a lie.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It may, sure.
Okay, I think something much more insidious is, why do I have to tag my own produce?
Make sure they cannot eat apple.
That you use to catch flies with.
That's not something I really believe. It's
little
just five
a crazy little 5-minute epoxy brush.
Because it's the only explanation. I'm seriously.
Maybe it's like heat. Like
mango now is permanently stained.
The only way to the only way to get past it is literally to just peel it off. Mm-hmm. That's it. Just to use the front end of
peeler.
The peeler and zap. just gone.
Well, I mean, I've done where I just will like stick them all in my hand or something. Sure. Just hand them all the stickers and say, ring these all up.
Yeah, ring them all up.
I just put them all on one bag.
Because otherwise, I think they're paid extra to like smash them all in extra hard.
They get a tip for every complaint.
But seriously, my thing is, if we don't get plastic bags, if we don't get paper bags,
then what?
Why are my groceries not cheaper?
Yeah, exactly.
Price didn't go down.
The price didn't go down. You're obviously just saving a crap ton of I remember how many pallets of friggin' stuff we used to go through.
How do you know
the
price didn't go down? Are you checking it? Right. Maybe it did go down.
My local price didn't go down when I'm a creature of habit.
Time.
I'm a creature of habit. I buy the same thing.
And you know how much they cost?
Well, on average, yeah, I know that my thing of stewed Mexican-style tomatoes is 88 cents.
Gun to my head, I couldn't
tell.
But
the retail price of that doesn't have anything to do with it.
About $2.60, $2.70 a gallon.
You should have bought the can that was just white.
$6. Damn.
Unrelated, though.
We are never going to Vegas together. Ever.
Okay.
Ever, Julie.
Unrelated note.
And you lose a lot of money.
Do you remember when airlines raised their prices because the price of petroleum and gas
and
all
this
stuff.
Right, and now gas is like basically free.
Gas is cheaper than milk, but did the airfare come down?
I made my stand. I made my stand. Because I fly all over the place. People fly me to go do AV and stuff. And for the longest time, I was like, hey, whoever you got.
AV, is that a sex thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Yeah. It involves leather.
Artificial vagination.
Chicken bone.
Cat nine tails or whatever. It's. The studs and all.
I think Chris is going to pee himself now. but, you know, it was always like, whoever, you know, because I know they get points for their hotel stay and stuff like that with whoever they're flying me with. But then it was like, wait a minute. Like, every single airline I'm flying with, I got to pay like $50 a freaking bag or $25 a bag.
That's some cheese, man.
Southwest still lets you bring 250-pound bags on for free.
Yeah, I was trying to fly to Cleveland, though. And Southwest
fly me Southwest. Here is my rewards number. Like,
to Cleveland?
Like, straight up.
Why do people want to go to Cleveland anyway? And then $700? Yeah. But American was $250. Go figure.
Yeah.
But it's American.
I know, but whatever. I figured after the ankle break last time I was there and that it cost them $850 just to change my ticket,
it's nice of you to take it's nice of you to take the cheaper flight.
Nice, right?
Yeah. Do they put foam around the... Are they putting foam on the whole city of Cleveland for your arrival?
Right.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I hope so. Just I bought these new Chuck Taylors just to keep myself non-broken.
And the trumpet sound.
When Julie falls, all we want to hear is... Shit!
No, not again. Why? No. My first day out of the boot, and I was wearing really impractical footwear, so I went to Nordstrom Rack, and I got these.
But it was really cute.
Nice.
It was really cute,
well,
but...
There you go.
They are.
At some point, when you have a broken ankle, cute doesn't cut it anymore.
That's it.
It's awful. I've spent so much time and money. I'm in a room full of guys buying shoes that I'll never wear again.
That's all right.
It's very upsetting to me.
I have shoes that I can't wear again because,
your toes went out the
for
top?
Some reason. You, like, no, for some reason. No, for some reason, I've moved them to like four houses and they haven't fit in years. And, you know, you just move shit, you just throw it all in a box and you're like, let's get the hell out.
This just in. Your feet get bigger.
I know.
As you get older.
Hey,
try breaking them,
then
they get
boots.
Much bigger. Mm.
I'm already at size 16.
Oh,
I feel for my child. Well,
you
I feel
get
for
shacks.
My child.
Young Delvis is a size 8 already.
Because he's the way I am, which is like it, literally like my hand. My big toe is as large as my index finger. So it's like.
So as a foot thumb?
Kind of. I could play Atari with my feet as a kid.
Well, we have in my family. We call that the RL toe grab. It's a genetic thing where everybody on my mom's side of the family can pinch things between their big toe and their second toe.
Mm-hmm.
And even my daughters do it, lean over and just kind of like sneak over on the couch and just
just grab stuff.
Whoa.
Yeah. No, he's definitely got cursed with dad's big feet. They're huge. Poor kid. But he's
save your shoes.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, apparently he is. I was thinking, why are you hauling all these shoes around?
Yeah, there you go. Elvis is a teenager. I don't know. He can write a book about all
it's
these
just,
damn
it's
shoes.
It's one of those.
I mean, yeah, there's starving kids in Africa that need shoes. Yeah.
There are.
I think they have size 15 and a half, 16.
There are starving Manute Bowls somewhere in the world that need Manute Bowls.
Exactly.
They can eat those shoes.
Chris, I'm like 5 inches taller than you, and I don't even wear a size 16.
My brother's 3 inches taller than me, and he's in like a 13. It's like, great, you can go buy shoes anywhere, you ass.
Well, I had to say that. I had to buy some shoes over the weekend and actually had to buy a 15 and something. I thought, oh my God, what the hell is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, no, like even big and tall shops are like, oh.
Yeah, can't help it.
We got like 28 W's for wide, but sorry, you know. Shaquille O'Neal's shoes
22
do not come in larger than a size 15.
That's
and it's like, you have a size 22 shoe, my friend. You would 22. Think you would know the pain.
Hello.
Market awareness.
Shaquille, if you're listening.
Yeah, Shaq.
You need to shop at the Big and Mutant store. Yeah,
this is Shaq. Welcome to Shaq Show.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Hey, this is Shaq. Hey, welcome to Shaq Show.
It's got the crazy looking
eye. I got some really big feet. Size 22, but my shoes don't come bigger than 15.
My size 22 shoes take half of my Kia Sophia.
I couldn't get shoes in my size. I just wore the box.
Yeah.
Shaq is my jam. I've got to say, my band Shaq Jones.
Shaq,
we talked about last week.
I
love him. He's great. Because he doesn't care. If somebody wants him to go, like, have you heard his album? Oh, you should check out
him.
I
should hear jam because I don't care.
He's got some hardcore rap out there.
Well,
I like it when him and Charles Barkley get in a fight. I like those.
I like that. Charles Barkley, the prince. Yeah. Oh, the prince.
I like when they argue and fight.
I loved it when he was with the Rockets because I got to see him regularly on the news and trying to make sense after a game. And it was like, Charles.
That's that's Sir Charles.
No, I know.
Oh, yeah.
Sir Charles.
Sir Charles.
Mound of rebound.
We were very blessed in Houston for a while with the talent that we had. But I don't know. I don't watch much sporting at all.
Okay, when I was a kid, because of connections, I was what was called a ball boy for the basketball team, which were the guys that sit under the basket and catch balls or run off and throw them to them when they're
shooting.
That cut them. No, exactly.
Just
and I was trying to make it very clear.
Him a big right there.
You left that part of the conversation behind.
I would bring them towels and water and that kind of thing. And there was and Akeem jumps up and
just
knocks
the ball down.
So we get 2 points because it's a goaltending. It was an obvious goaltending.
Yeah.
They get the ball again. Houston gets it. I don't remember what happened on this. They weren't scoring. We were playing pretty good defense. And we get the ball back, shoot it again. Akeem knocks it down. And at this point, we get 2 more points. So it's 4-2 at this point. Then it becomes 6-2. We're winning because of another Akeem goaltending.
Well, people start laughing, but then
the fourth one, people kind of quit laughing because they're thinking, man, at some point this guy's going to figure out how to play. So we were winning 8-2, and we did the ball had never touched the net. We were getting points because Akeem didn't really, he had been a goalie in Africa.
And he just thought he had been a goalie, keep the ball out of there. Yeah.
And he kept it out. And then after a while, Guy Lewis, I think, explained to him what goaltending was and that it wasn't really funny anymore. So it was like, oh, wow, we got 8 free points.
Yeah.
And now that's kind of scary because are we ever going to get it in the bucket ever again?
And you said, by Slam and Jammer, man, that was
Clyde Drexler.
You know, that was, and that's exactly who took the Rockets to the playoffs and, you know, the only actually winning Houston team ever.
Mm-hmm.
they were even in
that
the
was
Olympic
my first
team, the dream team.
People were laughing him out of the stadium for the first 3 goaltending.
Well,
the fourth one, people got real quiet. We're like, ooh.
He came straight from Africa.
Like Shaq. Yeah.
How many oval rims are there when Shaq played where he just clanged them right off the front of the rim every time?
Yeah. Boom.
This thing called an arc. Yeah.
There's a thing called an arc.
I've got no time for that.
Yeah.
Parabola.
Yeah. I bet it felt like a golf ball in his hand, you know? Like,
right?
Well, I had a friend that met him. Friend that met him in Los Angeles said shaking his hand was like shaking a bunch of bananas. I mean, it was just, it was just crazy because it's just, no matter how big you were, it just dwarfed. Like a catcher's mitt.
My name's Shaq, nice to meet you.
Hey.
Yeah.
Don't break my hand.
Hello, children.
Yeah. I'm a very large black man.
Mm-hmm. Come on, get your hand.
Shaq is awesome. I love Shaq. He does some great things. He will shamelessly self-promote himself in anything.
Well, that's a good
which
thing.
Which is why I love Shaq.
Yep. Yeah,
like, even Toys R Us, there was a great poster of him.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my partner from
Ryan Jeffrey,
Shaq Jones,
did you ask?
Still to this day, send each other pictures of Shaq products. You know, like whenever we're walking around,
Icy Hot,
we find, oh, it's not just like Icy Hot displays. Like I've found like hair coloration displays and stuff, and it's like
hair coloration.
He has no hair.
How
do you do that?
I used to have a slot machine game on my cell phone.
I've become absolutely astonished at the turn of the conversation.
And every time that he did a little dance.
We've gone from priests to diddle kids and cops who shoot people to Shaq.
Shaq and Icy Hot.
Well, Shaq brings everybody together.
That's it.
Shaq is a unifying force in the universe.
One of my favorite
things. It's the wingspan.
That happened this last year.
Like
speaking of Shaq, because there was a movie called Kazam.
Oh, yeah. The worst one.
The Shaq was in, yeah. Right.
Yeah. And supposedly...
You're going to talk about the Mandela effect again, aren't you?
Well, there are a bunch of people that think... That
right.
There was a movie that
Sinbad was in. And when the first time I heard somebody say that, I thought, oh, I remember that too. But it's just as soon as somebody says it, you remember it.
Yeah.
And then they go, no, it was really this Kazam with Shaq. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But it does seem like Sinbad should be in that
too. It was hilarious, though, because this last year for...
I do got that Mandela effect on that one.
Yeah.
I kind of remember.
Yeah. This last year for April Fool's Day, Sinbad actually went through and created a scene from that movie. And that was the headline everywhere. It was like, you know...
I'll pop
like,
a top to that.
Sinbad wins April Fool's Day. You know, like... All these people, it's been this raging theory across the internet.
Shazam.
Everybody remembered a movie that never existed.
Yeah, exactly. Never existed.
Universally. Well,
yeah.
Or lying. It was always a thing about a movie. A myth. Yeah. Like, this line is the most popular line ever. It's like, well, so what you're telling me is that people misunderstood a line?
Or some people tell me the shirt that I got on. They say that's the wrong way of Fruit Loops.
That's like the wrong way of spelling it?
They said it wasn't spelled like that.
I had to get on somebody the other day because thrust parrying and stuff, and he was like, okay, just drink the Kool-Aid. And I was like, all right, I'll drink whatever you want as long as it's actually spelled by the brand name. Like, you've Googled many other things here, but you could not Google the actual spelling of Kool-Aid. And I have a problem with that.
I've got a friend that proved a pretty good little point.
Or COOL.
The Mandela effect.
AID.
Okay. The Bernstein Bears.
It's a K with a hyphen.
Bernstein.
Yeah, the Bernstein and all that. Whatever.
All these things are just people misremembering spelling crap. I'm like, how are these like?
And somebody took a photo from like Half Price Books or something and had two different. The bear thing, and it was spelled differently. Who knows if it was
a
knockoff?
Yeah, it was a knockoff, exactly. Yeah.
Dude, it's a misprint.
Yeah,
it's a misprint. It happens all the time. It happens with money, where one side of the bill is printed upside down from the other, or one side of a coin is struck from the other side of the other.
I smell some fishy
about
that.
No, I just watched Brewster's Millions. I just watched Brewster's Millions, and that's one of my favorite scenes ever, is where he goes
out
and buys the stamp for $1.5 million because it was accidentally printed upside down and the only one of that run.
The inverted.
And then he mails it. So it's like, he didn't devalue it. He actually used it for its value as a stamp. That's brilliant.
The inverted Jenny.
Yes.
Stamp.
And, you know, it. All right.
You can't live on $1 million.
Doesn't matter. You inherit $1 million bucks. You inherit $1 million, and I challenge you right now. Even if I had $1 million, I could pay my way out of debt and be all right. I wouldn't be able to live for the rest of my life, but I'd be out of debt.
I could buy a whole bunch of blow.
My life would be better.
There you go.
Breach.
This is Julie Conley speaking.
You and I are going to speak off mic, Jeff.
You double that. You double your thing there.
Double your pleasure. I mean,
double man.
But literally, the concept was, okay, you have a $300 million inheritance. I'm going to make you so sick of money that you're never going to want to spend money again. Here's the deal. You have 30 days in which to spend $30 million. You have to spend it. $1 million a day. You can't just, like, go out and buy the Hope Diamond for some floozy. Like you said.
Why not?
You can't
that's
do that.
That's no floozy. That's my wife.
You can't do that. She's you're only, nice you're only allowed to give you're only allowed to give 30% to charity.
There's a lot of rules on this.
And, at the end of it, you can hold no assets.
Right.
You can hold no assets.
Hold no assets.
Parties and taking all your friends on vacation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Why can't you do that? Take everybody you know on vacation every single day.
Can you...
Why couldn't you do that? Rent George Clooney's yacht.
Yeah, and give the whole world a Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I mean,
I'm with you.
Rent Bill Gates' house from him for a weekend party.
Yeah.
How much would it cost you, Bill Gates? How much would you charge me to rent your place?
I can do it. I very easily could do
it. Oh, yeah, no.
I want to hear music
and do it in a fun way. And do it in a way that I would not get sick of spending it.
Well.
Or feel attached to it.
The idea was to give him responsibility and to give him control.
Well, that would not
And to temper him.
No, that would not work for me. I would go crazy. And to temper him.
Because...
I get it.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you can't go, even like his clothes, he was brilliant. He had some badass suits, but he rented all of his clothes.
Why not? Rent a car every day.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he did. He
rent
was like
a helicopter all day long. Yeah,
he just had to like blow it.
He literally, at the end of it,
everything's got to be rented.
So fun.
At the end of it, he had to show up with the clothes on his back, nothing else.
To get the rest of the $300 million.
To get the rest of
the $300 million. I know, every day. I'd be like, hey, which one of my
and
friends
it'd definitely
wants
be
to go
fun
to
doing it.
And have accounting for all of it. Have sure. accounting for
well,
all of
can,
it.
Well, can part of the money be going to an accountant that I pay?
Sure.
There you go.
They have flowers
every
day.
I
do not go
anywhere.
I do not walk into a room unless there are 500 dozen roses in it for a month. That could be a rule.
So yeah. Like,
everywhere I go, there are flowers on my.
Yeah, because they're going to die.
And you're
not going to keep them.
And I'm not going to get sick of it because who cares?
That's what he did.
Like crazy expensive alcohol and then just drink it.
Yep. No, that's what he did.
I mean, could you spend it on blow? Could you spend it on drugs?
You could spend it on parties. You could do stuff like that. He did do things like go out and buy, like...
Take the entire Super Bowl champion football team on a vacation and buy them all hookers.
Yeah, and blow. And blow.
Yay,
I mean, we're going through money really fast here.
I think it was you couldn't do anything illegal, you know, stuff like that.
That night right there would be a fat million.
Nothing illegal? I mean...
Nothing illegal.
Nothing's illegal. If you have $1 million a day to spend.
Like everything we just said. No, nothing else.
Remember how, they did do it, so I guess they can do it.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you throw that clause in, huh?
But yeah, there are some there's wild movie premises out there like that in the 80s. It was pretty interesting. I enjoy watching movies like that. I love Brewster's Millions. It's a hoot of a movie.
Do you like Mannequin?
Mannequin? I did like Mannequin when it came out.
Mannequin.
I did, but I was also a Xanadu fan.
Oh, Xanadu.
Xanadu is not bad. Did you see Ishtar, which I think is one of the all-time most
underrated?
Elaine May wrote and directed it.
Years ago.
It's historically considered one of the biggest movie flops ever. Because
that was Dustin
tons
Hoffman.
And Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
And it's absolutely hilarious, but... It's not the kind of humor. It's kind of like a Arrested Development. That kind of humor.
Yeah.
You think it's hilarious, but most people aren't really going to get it.
You thought you were getting. Oh, you thought you were getting Bob Hope, one of those road movies.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
You were getting Arrested Development.
I mean, it was a CIA, story.
Yeah, it's kind of like Man with One Red Shoe type.
It was really ridiculous. They were songwriters, and they fall in with the CIA and end up in the Middle East. And
yeah,
it's absurd. And but it was a big flop.
Yeah,
but it's hilarious.
I did.
I recommend it to everybody.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out.
It's hard to find, even. It's really even hard to find.
Say, harder Netflix? To find in that Sinbad movie.
This movie, I think, actually existed. Where those Lone Stars? Where are the Lone Stars coming from?
See.
Is that the last one?
You want it?
I do.
You, yeah. He's gonna take your last beer, like Dick.
I'll take his Mosaic.
I'd rather have the Lone Star.
Nice.
You want one of these?
There. Ooh, I'll try one.
Oh, what is that? Is that the blood orange?
I was watching.
Definitely new. They had to fill up 2 hours, so they talked a lot more than most bands would, which I think was just charming and wonderful. But the songs that they played, they did a couple covers. I cannot remember what they were, but they were awesome. And then a bunch of original stuff. I mean, they put on a solid show for 2 full hours. It was great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was definitely worth
it. I
would have
been there, but I had that damn flat tire.
Oh,
yeah. Did you get that fixed?
Yeah, I got all four new ones.
Oh, no, they talked you into it, huh?
See, you walk in with one little problem, and you walk out with all this crap.
But
let me tell you, you got a bad tire there. I think your best bet is to replace all four.
I think you're just better. Sell you a new car.
Really, your best bet is to replace that one and the one matching.
Right. And that was the situation. First recommendation by him, I guess. And but that alone was going to cost what I've spent getting the four because I went home. I did not get it that day. I went home. Complained to the manager because the guy didn't take the tire off to find out where the leak was at because automatically he was like, no, it's unfixable. It's like, how did you know that without even checking it out? You know, like, how do you know it's on the wall or anything or anywhere?
Well,
we didn't find the leak at all.
Well, I can tell you right now as a tire tech, the way you can tell is if it's not in the tread, it's unfixable.
Right.
But if you don't look to see if it's in the tread.
Yeah,
did he put it through a tank of water?
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't even pull it in or nothing. He just visually I don't see nothing.
Well, okay. And I'll give you that, even as a tire tech.
There's nothing
in the treads.
Yeah, I thought he didn't do his job well enough and that I wasn't a priority and my needs weren't being met.
So basically what you're saying is that
was
you...
to make money.
So that you wanted
well,
to
you
go...
Well, you have a really nice truck. He probably saw it and was like, I could get some money from this guy.
So, it was going to be $120 a tire, and I spent $230 getting all four new ones pretty much that came off of a Jeep.
Oh, nice.
But that was after me complaining and got the price knocked way down, got the balance and rotation price, which was like 64 or more, knocked off to, because it was three
Where'd
days later
going?
I went back. Discount.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But the guy was just trying to make money off me, I felt like. And, you know, if he wasn't going to take the tire off to find the leak first, you know, it's like, and he was more interested in, you know, selling the tires, you know what I mean?
Tires.
Like, oh, you need this one, you know, like,
yeah,
let's go ahead. Oh, your two back ones, you know, like, fuck that, man.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Like your intent and it's not about making me happy, it's about you and your money.
And see, that's the thing in sales.
Yeah.
You got to make people
happy.
That's
the thing in sales. Yeah. You got to do more listening. You just can't show up and throw up. You have to listen to what the customer needs, how you're going to help him get there.
Well, and you work sales in a way, Jeff.
Very consultative.
Yeah, and much more of a...
In a way.
Well,
does this have something to do with this cocaine buying? That
you're not walking into a store for
in a way.
I recommend some security software.
Yeah.
I'm your guy.
Yeah, exactly.
500 it is.
You want to get down
this
on the ground.
This cocaine thing was just bullshit.
He has no cocaine.
Once again, my name is Julie Conley.
Yeah. Ooh, you sound sexy, Julie.
I have a federally protected job. I have nothing to do with cocaine.
That's right. I don't even like cocaine.
That's right.
He's the one who brought
I've
it
never
up.
Even seen it.
The guy who
I've
no,
never even
the guy
seen
who
it.
No
oh, my God.
At all.
No, that's a lie.
But even doing what you do, with security and everything else, there is an amount of sales that goes. I think that really, when it comes down to it, we're all kind of in that Chris Rock sense, at least for the first 6 months, dealing with the salesman. You know, he had that concept with the relationship with you're dealing with a representative for the first 6 months. You're not dealing with the actual person. You're dealing with the front of who they want you to think they are. You know, like, you haven't gotten to the point where, like, you're going to be spending, like, you know, a week at each other's house, stuff like that. It's 6 months. Typically.
Oh, 6 months so, dating, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think that all too often in society, we have gotten to the point where we give somebody our representative.
You're still filling them out, man.
You know? Well, yeah, but at the same time, why? Why? Why do you need to feel somebody out? Like, I don't know if you need to feel anybody out. I got
right, like, do I want what they're buying? Yes, I'm going to buy it or something.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
You don't need to wine and dine me. Just
not,
show me your
not
shit.
It's not toothpaste. You know, many times...
security is for sure a lot more nuanced.
Yeah,
more complex.
For sure.
And you want somebody who's a trusted advisor, someone you feel like you can't... who may know what they're talking about, or at least be able to create that illusion.
Right, that's like insurance.
So, it's...
Allegedly.
It is very involved. I mean, I do have customers that are friends, but for the most part, they come to me with a problem, and we talk through what the problem is, where do they want to be, what do they want, what are the impediments to that, and how we can get them to where they want to be.
Yeah.
You know, they want to protect the information of whatever their constituents are, and we help them do that.
Yeah.
I am concerned for the consumers of this show because I feel like it's just getting very randomly. We're talking about tires and crap.
Okay.
Let's talk about something with a little bit more meat. And I'm just going to propose a new thing.
Go for it. Would you talk in the... Would you like
here's
to talk
the question
about the
for the panel.
Here's the question.
Okay.
No.
What's the question? Just to start some
do
more
it.
Conversation.
Do it.
What, Julie, what book are you reading right now?
Oh, my goodness. I just
What book are you reading right
Water
now?
For okay. Elephants. And
Water
it
for
so
Elephants.
Good.
And that's a novel that was made into a movie,
that
correct?
I don't know about the movie, but it's a novel, yeah.
Yeah,
it is. And,
yeah.
It is. How do you feel good about it? Or
I feel so good about it. It's embarrassing. I can't remember what I was reading first, but it was like a teen drama or something. No, it wasn't. It was political. I feel much better about it. But it was after I finished reading it, and I can't remember what it was. It said, if you liked this, then it gave me like a list of things on Amazon that these were things that you would like to read. And Water for Elephants was one of them. And I was flying to Cleveland to break my ankle. And so I downloaded it. And holy fuck, I couldn't put it down. It was so good. It was like super poignant. It was also like topical. It was really good.
Who is the author, and briefly, what is the elevator pitch on?
So, elevator pitch, it's about this old man who is living in a nursing home, and he is, like, right at the end of it, and he's worried that he's losing his mind, but he's remembering all of this time when he worked for a super corrupt circus. Basically, he was about to graduate from dental school, and his whole family got killed. And he realized that they hadn't paid his tuition, they didn't have a penny to their name, so he couldn't finish his medical exam, because he couldn't pay for it, and so he ran off and he joined the circus because a train was coming by, and then he kind of, like, fixed the circus, like, he took care of a lot of the bad stuff that was happening there. There was, like, a lot of insider trading kind of bad stuff going on, and abuse, and people getting thrown off the rail yards, and...
Well,
I don't know if I'm explaining it very
here,
well.
So. I have to get off now.
Elevator pitches a minute.
That was good.
That was good.
Chris, are you reading anything right now?
You know, I have always been much more of a nonfiction reader.
Mm-hmm.
I was a big reader of encyclopedias.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Short processing of dense information is what I enjoyed. I was never really a huge novel reader.
Well, I didn't ask
myself.
About novels.
But something that I reread recently because of a conversation with Stone Winchester. Sorry about that. Was Illusions by Richard Bach. And the subtitle is The Story of a Reluctant Messiah. And it's basically about this. If you've Richard Bach is very much along the lines of like Zen and the motor, Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. He wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull. You know, a lot of self-discovery, a lot of self-spirituality type stuff.
Self-love.
And, and really fully understanding yourself as... indeed. So, for me, it's one that I maintain a hardback copy of it. But I actively...
So, this is something you've come back to that you've
read
before?
It once a year.
Oh, very good.
I read it once a year. And, you know, and it's because it's one of those that, like, it's like 180 pages, and it's big type. Like, I remember reading it in, like, 3 hours or something like that. Like, it was, like, you know, just so quick. But the idea behind it and the concepts behind it and the realization of your own manifestation of things in the world around you and your own impact in the direct world around you, things like that. And so, Illusions by Richard Bach was something that I reread recently and gave it to my friend the other day. I always maintain a copy. I need to go out and buy a new one now. But I always maintain a copy to be able to give to somebody.
I like that. For a while, I had this thing that I would do where I would put little notes in books and leave them in random places and say, and say, like, you know, this is like guerrilla book giving. Like, here's a book that I like. I'd read this, and I dare you to give it away. Like, I would just leave them at the gas station or the bus stop or something. Just... try that as an experiment, a book that you like, and just leave it with a note on it, like, free book. Please take this and read it.
Yes.
Yeah, horrifying Polaroids inside. No, I'm just
So, are you reading anything interesting right now?
I hate to take this over, but now I have one interesting.
I'm reading a book called Spellbound. It is the second in a trilogy by Larry Correa. And Larry Correa is an interesting author. He's he writes a series called Monster Hunter International.
Yeah.
And he has another series called the Grimnoir series. And this is the second book. And it is an alternate reality set in the early 20th century where average people around the world actually have magic
at a certain
level. So certain people can do certain things. So movers.
The Alvin Maker books were like that too.
I'm not familiar with those.
Alvin, who wrote Alvin?
Are we talking about things? I know that there was a show on. Oh my God!
Alvin Maker was the name of it. But they all had knacks. Everybody has a knack. They're able to do something.
So
like,
somebody
cool.
is what they colloquially call a mover. They are telekinetic, and there are people that might be.
Kind of like an X-Men type.
They might be able to read your mind, or they might be able to.
Kind of like the non-magic person or the anti-magic person. Like this is so familiar to me. I think I've read the first one.
It's a really there's the second one is Spellbound, third one is Warbound, the first one is Hard Magic. And it's really interesting because it takes the events.
I'm thinking of Dr. Norrell and.
Well, it's like World War One.
Yeah,
it's an alternative take on World War One.
Huh?
And you know, the different powers trying to come up or trying to find these people that are actives that can actively tap into the various magic, and some people can control electricity, and some people can control fire, as in quelling fire or making fire go. So it's just it's an alternate reality thing. Larry Correa, I love his work. His Monster Hunter International.
That's what I'm going to recommend, Orson Scott Card.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Seventh Son is the first one. And that's the whole deal, is he's a seventh son of a seventh son.
I was going to say, that's like an Iron Maiden album.
And his oldest brother dies as they're crossing the Wabash River. Not the Wabash River, but the Wabash. It's all like right at the early... American time. Same thing. And he's a seventh, and he has another little brother who, because their older brother died, is also a seventh son.
Oh, there he is.
But
shit.
But he's a little brother, and so he's always like, oh.
Not quite there.
Yeah.
But Alvin Maker, they all have knacks, and Alvin Maker is the only maker, and a maker can kind of do anything.
It's like Tinkerbell.
Yeah. A maker can make anything happen.
Yeah,
but there are people who can who are like can put things together.
Yeah,
right.
Or they can have a knack of charm.
Yeah.
So they can like
different charisma.
Similar thing in this series is you have people that have active magic, but then you have other people that are termed cogs that have certain capabilities. So John Moses Browning is one of the characters, and his gift is manufacturing or designing and creating firearms.
Oh, wow.
And Nikola Tesla is another cog that's recognized in this for having his gift. So nice. It just kind of it loops in of these
historical actual people.
Yeah, historical
geniuses.
Well,
this one does too. Like William Henry Harrison is one of them. Mm-hmm. Like Tippecanoe and Tyler too. And the curse of Tecumseh. Tecumseh is a major character in this. And the one of the things is that the Indians, the Native Americans in these Alvin Maker books, which Alvin gets this ability, is they can see the green world, where they can like move through nature. Like they can...
Go to a different dimension, kind of, that was within our dimension?
Yeah, like the forest, like we were one with the forest.
Now,
you can glide through it effortlessly. And
have any of you guys ever read any Terry Brooks?
No.
Because I was more than impressed with, they did the Chronicles of Shun-Ra on MTV, no less. It was an MTV series. And I was like, this is going to be horrifying. They've actually done a great, great job. I know. Things get inspired when I start talking, Chris. I get a little deep with it sometimes.
Did you hear the music?
Handmaid's Tale was the book that I was reading that recommended me Water for Elephants.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I tried to bring it up to more of a literary thing.
Oh. That was still literary. It's a book.
No, it is.
Oh. That was funny.
Thanks. I'll be here for some amount of time.
And, you know, I don't know. I was always one of those, nonfiction never really, like, grabbed me. Mm-hmm. It would have to be something really special, and there are some books that, like I said, Illusions, I will reread every year because it's something that it's short enough. I can read it in an hour or three. You know, depending on how fast I'm wanting to pour through it. And it's always something different that I pull out of it. But most of the time I read, like, nonfiction. I'm reading something like... I thoroughly enjoyed reading philosophy and theology.
Oh, yeah, I like philosophy. Because, I always have Plato's Republic on whatever desk I'm in.
You know, because to me it reads like an instruction manual.
I do, yeah.
I've read all of Plato's works, but you are particularly fond of the Republic, and you keep it on a desk where you work? Is that what you're
Republic saying? Yes. Was a big part of University of Dallas.
It was, and then also recently... And
so that
my
was
brain,
part of the core curriculum.
Well, I was a philosophy major.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had to read a lot of... And with UD liberal arts, it was very specifically Western.
You mind if I get one of those
bread
ones? I'd love to try it.
We were talking about kerchief earlier.
No, I don't think so. I did my thesis on Foucault. I read a lot of...
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
A lot better now.
That's great.
But I love the Republic. And then my sister recommended a book that I cannot remember the name of right now. Something City. But basically, the premise of it was that some people who had the ability to time travel create a world based on Just City. It was called Just City. Based on the Republic, they were able to get Plato there, and he was appalled.
Yeah, that would kind of be horrible. Yeah, it actually would be
in reality, like, it was just, it went really, really wrong, but it was a very cool book, too. It was a little bit like it fed it to you. It was like it was easy, but if you want, like, a super dumbed-down version of the Republic, go for it.
Now... What
the Republic really would be horrible.
Really?
And it wouldn't work. People would not. Human beings would not be able to exist in Plato's Republic.
No, it was. That was one good thing about the Just City is that it really breaks down like every glaring problem with it. You know, which obviously it has glaring problems.
It's really more an explanation of humanity in and of itself. than it is an explanation of how to live.
Well, and I don't think that Plato necessarily thought that it was doctrine. Like Bible of how people actually should live. I think it was just the method of discourse that
got
people thinking about, like,
the concept of
what
the
if, and then take whatever crazy thought you have to its conclusion, and that's what you've got.
Which
so.
Is the fundamental value of Plato right there.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
That's what's valuable about it.
Exactly.
Plato was a shit.
He didn't. The thing is, he didn't offer any answers whatsoever. I mean, he only
asked a lot of really good questions.
Which, to be honest, is really the whole point. I mean,
exactly.
The point is not. No, you never. You don't know the answers
when you have it.
Never.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem.
You have to find the right question.
When you have the answer, Chris. It's over.
Oh yeah, you're wrong. You're guaranteed if you're
it's
wrong.
It's done. Yeah, either number one, the paradigm you know it
right.
ends, or like it's over.
You keep
like
banging.
You have come to full understanding of the universe, and now it's over for you. Like that's how it works.
You think shoes are the most important, and then you break your ankle and can't wear heels anymore.
We're
talking
about
game changer.
We were talking about Gurdjieff earlier, and one of the things he pointed out was the idea that humans' idea of heaven is a real place, but it's just we're people who have gotten super, super, super smart and way smarter than they should be end up because it's kind of this hellish thing where you have to just sit there and be peaceful a lot.
Well, let's see.
And it's like, it's kind of an actually an example of hell. Like, they get their own planet.
And we can get into this.
But that's actually, you're kind of doomed to that because.
I recently did an episode.
You just have to be, like, super happy all the time.
While I was in Indianapolis, I did an episode of the Blah Blah Show with John Bowne.
That sound reality.
That was about. Angels and demons and ancient technology and things like that. You know, and I don't know. It's one of those that where do you draw the line? At one point, it's interesting to me. Well, it's interesting to me that, like, for instance, black mirrors are used to scry it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I literally have no TV in my bedroom. I haven't had a TV in my bedroom in probably a decade.
I don't have a TV in my bedroom.
Yeah.
I do.
And being slaves to the technology that we are a part of. I mean, to the point of...
Oh, for sure. I've got
Phantom
my phone right here.
Yeah, we all have our phones here. I mean, mine was ringing a while ago.
I say it's for work, but...
At the same time...
Can y'all live with Adam? I was thinking today that I maybe Generation X, which I am, might be the last generation remember analog. I mean, we might.
Right, I remember analog.
I mean, or just like thinking, well, I mean, how call many somebody when you get back to your house?
Well, not just that. Sincerely, Chris, think about it.
You gotta wait for it to go
Chris,
like that.
You'd write a note.
Hold on. Because I want to point something out. You have a law degree on fingers.
It was the very first year there was Nexus Lexus.
I don't even want you to go with.
Oh, wow.
I don't even want you to go with
thumbs. Primeco around or something.
I don't even want you to go with thumbs on fingers alone. How many phone numbers do you remember off the top of your head?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Oh, I remember most of. I can tell you numbers from most of the people I grew up with and most of the people that I know, probably.
Great,
but. But you don't have to very much. I mean,
yeah, most people don't anymore.
Yeah.
Right? If you were to get arrested,
I can remember the phone numbers that I had that my parents had.
And
when
most
I was
people
six
probably
years
same
old.
Here.
Right?
I mean,
but I cannot remember
right
my
now.
Daughter's phone numbers.
Now.
Yeah, I don't know Liam's phone
you don't really have to use it.
823 RME was the first license plate for the first car I ever owned.
It's because you don't. With most of the time with phone numbers, you don't have to use it. You just put it in your phone and you hit.
Do you remember?
But if you had to remember it, you would remember it.
Yeah.
Do you remember exchanges when you had an exchange? So
you don't.
It was Xbro.
No,
in Southern California,
old.
It was Xbrook, which is 39.
You're not that old.
Oh, yeah.
How old are you? There's
I'm
no way
56.
You're that old. You maybe are that old.
He is well pickled, my friend.
I survived the 80s.
Well, I'm
my
51.
Mark,
but I think if you're 56, you do remember that. Because
yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I thought it would be great to make my daughter's
that was right at the
an
end.
Analog weekend.
It was like
we put a phone in the kitchen with a 30-foot-long cord.
Nice.
30? 30? You're being like, you're going to 89.
Only because it's all ripped around.
You're going to 89.
You go to Radio Shack and buy it so you can just sit in the closet and your parents.
And I will sit there and put it down beforehand and twist that
thing. I'm
going
to buy the 30-foot cord.
Give him a 3-foot cord, dude. Like, you're tethered. You could like, sit down in the corner next to the phone.
How about when you want to change the channel to one of 11 channels?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. UFH or whatever.
2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13. Oh, yeah. It's not even that many. It's 8 plus 1 UHF channel.
UHF, that's what it was.
And that was the Korean channel.
I was going to say, where did you live that you had that many? We
Southern
had 4.
California.
We had ABC, NBC, CBS, and PBS.
All the independents. There were like.
I remember
when
Fox became an option.
We were one of the first people to get cable.
I remember when Fox became an option.
Oh, well, I do, too.
There was no Fox.
Yeah.
No, I remember the first cable company was
UPN,
on TV.
And then WB.
And on
was
WB. It
was WB.
About this big, and it was on.
Yeah.
And that was
there was WGN. There were some superstations that would broadcast away. Because when my dad
USA
got cable,
all night.
When I was a real little kid,
all night.
Because he didn't
remember
like
USA,
the antenna.
Yeah.
They explained, well, this way you don't have to have an antenna. And we got a Dallas channel. We got WGN.
You got three versions of WTN.
And we got the one in Chicago.
The religious channel out of Dallas.
Yes, always.
So on the Dallas channel, we got the Three Stooges, the Little Rascals, the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, my God, I loved the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Saturday was... Lucha Libre! Mexican wrestling on one of the UHF channels.
Nice! Yes. California.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Mil Máscaras. They had a
like
million
a
masks.
We had televangelists.
Oh, thousands.
Boston, it was just all sports.
Ernest
and news.
Ernest Angley. Remember Reverend Ernest Angley?
We had a lot of local people in West Texas and Oklahoma that we didn't... like prophecy in the news kind of things, where they would say, what about the date 1988 for Jesus coming back? Things like,
predicting
the date
of
Jesus
out there.
And I watched those shows religiously, not because I believed in it, because I just thought they were fascinating.
Yeah.
They didn't watch it religiously. That's pretty funny.
Well, I would watch them religiously, and then I thought that
sounds
they
like
were
the History
great
Channel now.
Entertainment. Like, I was like, these guys have got some serious.
They got something going
the
for
hair.
Them.
The hair.
Yeah.
There's charisma. Something about that. This, my father grew up in Tulsa next door to the Oral Roberts family.
Wow.
We were my dad's next door neighbors, so our whole family has a lot of experience with knowing televangelists from the outside.
Yeah, from the outside.
Was that a recognition thing where they say that Jews don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah and Episcopalians don't recognize the Pope as you know God's avatar on earth.
Baptists don't recognize each other at the liquor store.
At Hooters, they don't recognize each other at Hooters.
It's a liquor store.
Yeah.
That is exactly why.
And they had on these gas stations, because Tyler used to be dry until very recently, and they're all Baptist down there.
Oh, yeah.
On the gas stations, it would be like, no alcohol served here, family first, lowest prices in Texas in tobacco. Like,
what?
Okay.
Yeah.
What hypocrites.
That works.
What is that?
That's my watch.
No fun.
Yeah, no fun.
Yeah
family first, no alcohol.
It's
like,
it's
what?
Wild. It's a very geeky watch.
There?
I'm not
I'm sure
gonna lie.
Somebody's got alcohol.
You tap it, and
it's
the most religious.
Does it tell time?
He's getting drunk.
Yeah, you can tell what time it is by the number of LEDs lit on that side, and then that number.
I can't.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would you have a watch like that?
Because it's epically nerdy.
Does that let me call ET?
It even lets me see the date. Like I can see the date.
No, it doesn't. I can't see anything on there.
That's 6/28. Look,
it said 6/28.
Lockheed Martin on the back.
6/27 rather. See.
So it's going to be like on the 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
This is absolutely
okay, that's the time.
Not suitable
10?
For radio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not suitable for radio.
But it's 9,
not
it's
suitable
not 10?
For radio.
Wow.
An analog display for a digital
No, it's
clock.
Not.
What?
I like it.
Nice.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just Yeah. Blind a little bit.
That's cool.
Hey, it could be. Have you ever seen like the binary clocks? Those will blow your mind, bro. That's for some people like Jeff. Like, I can't even figure out a binary clock.
How about the slow clocks?
Yes.
Where they have 24, it's 24 yeah. hours on the face of the clock.
Oh,
so it, it,
wow.
You just yeah. have, it's like, okay, it's one and two notches. That's
oh,
one
yeah.
shit.
40.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like my thing that I just tap it and it tells me what time it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd take time.
And how many steps I've taken today.
I just know a shit ton.
10,000.
That's pretty good.
Good job.
With a broken ankle.
Tick-tock.
10,000 Ahab steps?
Yeah, yeah, they're technically one and a half with the peg leg limp in there.
I feel like it's burning more calories having a broken ankle.
I'll be
I'm
a
kidding,
child.
My
right hip is mighty.
So, what's your favorite book, Chris?
Yeah. What is my favorite book?
Yeah.
Oh,
the Law.
I didn't know that's what we were... What?
Now, it was what you were reading at the time.
Yeah.
But
now,
like,
now you want to know what my favorite
book is. Like the one
is.
That you give to people, I would imagine
yeah,
it
yeah.
would be your favorite or one that has a lot
that
of...
That is a really interesting question.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Genesis.
I'd say X
is my
Sega
favorite
Genesis?
Book.
I'd say X Men number
Genesis.
One, but that's a really
Leviticus. I just love to say it.
1823, man,
like that game Slider.
The book that I usually give to somebody if I feel like I need to is not a book that anybody ever likes to read.
Ooh.
It's a book by Norman Mailer called Ancient Evenings. About it's set in ancient Egypt, and the characters are, it's a novel, but the characters all think in a context as if they're ancient Egyptians, and so they're not
oh my God, my sister would
modern
love that book.
Human beings at all.
Huh.
And it's an and it's a I've given it to people to read, and they'll give it back to me and just go, ha, ha. My other book that I would recommend, probably my favorite recent book, though, is Infinite Jest, which I know is something that is almost kind of like a joke in the literary world as far as people who like it. It's Infinite Jest is like the Grateful Dead.
Yep.
In that... I really like the entity, but I don't like people who like it.
Like
I don't like
you know,
like I like the Grateful Dead, but I don't like Deadheads.
Here's
I like I love Infinite Jest, but I generally don't like people
it's
who like
it. It's
so
a 6 hour venture.
Self-hating.
But I will
no, I
will,
like it for a very good reason.
I will proudly
but I generally don't think that most people who like it do like it for a good reason.
I will proudly state
you know what
nice.
I will
I like
proudly
that.
State that my wife the other day sat through, and she didn't sit through 6 hours. She says she sit through 6 hours. She woke up halfway into episode 2 of Long Strange Trip on
yeah.
Amazon, which is directed by Martin Scorsese.
Sure. And it
you
was
know.
The same guitar solo.
I know. It's like we don't need any more of that. Like, we don't need any more of that. There's a reason why Jerry Garcia was in a coma for a number of years, because he kept looking at these people going, oh my God, you don't
well,
get anything I'm fucking saying. I'm just going to go into a coma. Yeah. He was like, don't! Worship me! Yeah. I am not Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what I say? I say, fuck you.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's just like, you people do not get it. And when I live in Northern California...
That's a t-shirt.
Oh my God, they're so indoctrinated. They're so...
That's
people who are true deadheads...
That's badass.
...are... They are... I mean, it's a cult.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. It is, and I understand the whole roots of the religion.
The Greek
but
day.
I, it's just like, come on, man. You're just,
I think there's loving
it's worse
and
than dancing
selling
with the snakes.
Everything you have to go on tour to follow.
Yeah,
through.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was
which
not. Now, granted, I had a professor who actually did his master's thesis. Following and chronicling the subculture of deadheads.
Well, sure. Right. Okay, that's an
right.
easy topic.
He
because
just
wanted
to get laid by girls.
Well,
yeah,
and they're one of the only, like,
subcultures
LSD.
That's, like, really part of America. It's interesting.
Right, it was.
You know,
yeah.
where like, they were utterly created here, They were created by a movement that was
fuck
here.
That. Okay, listen. I was with some people in Washington, D.C. We're all dead ends. And they're all super educated. Sure. They're like brain surgeons. And people.
Oh,
I'm not kidding.
Oh,
this was a former girlfriend
like
of mine.
Like Al Franken.
All
types.
Of her Duke friends. And they're watching all... They're watching... Literally, we're watching dead videos.
Yeah.
They're talking about all the songs. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just this dead fucking thing. And one of these women, literally, she's a brain surgeon. Came up to me and said, so how many times have you seen the dead? And I said, well, I was unfortunate enough to grow up in Texas where the dead never bothered to come to, so I never got to see the dead.
And
I
Richard,
never got
to,
and I said,
and
but, I said, but I had seen Willie Nelson at least 50 times.
Nice.
And so she said, well,
you don't understand.
She said, now that, because we were standing in Washington, D.C. at the moment, and she acted like I'd never been out of Texas, and it was completely uneducated.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And
what
said,
a rude.
And she said, well, so now now you understand that there's something outside of Texas. And
wow.
I was like, you obviously don't if you fucking understand Willie Nelson, you dumb, crazy person.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, so, like, the Grateful Dead is the ultimate, it's the only niche of society where there's this whole thing.
Right,
like,
right.
I guarantee a Willie Nelson concert is just as fucking badass experience.
Yeah.
Soulful. He's like an angel.
Oh, yeah. And I've probably seen, at this point, Willie maybe 50 times. The only person I've ever seen more than Willie is Joe Ely, and I've seen Joe Ely probably maybe 100 to 50 times.
Yeah.
And
that's four times. Concerts every day?
Mine would be Rush.
It's just... But. Well, Rush. I mean, the same thing. Can, I mean, why can't that be the same thing as the Grateful Dead? Rush
right.
is the same fucking ask, thing, except there are just no chicks
Chris,
in the room.
You have to ask. You don't understand.
Well, right. I mean, Rush is the same thing. It's like, so the Grateful Dead is the... I mean, that's the thing
fact
the Dead
is,
has.
And
they're
Richards.
They're as stupid as Baptists.
And
there,
Richards
is
made it to where the Grateful Dead could not come into Texas anymore. She
I've
was the one
that.
That, yeah, that was straight up. It was right up around the same time that she
That's
told.
It's hard for me to believe.
But
it
she
was,
yeah,
what
happened?
It was right up around the same
badass.
Time that she told, like, Ozzy, you can't come here anymore. You,
because you're going to pee on
yeah,
our
you're
gonna
landmarks. Yeah, you're going to pee on the landmark. You got to go. And it was like, you're going to have a song about driving the train high on cocaine.
Sarah!
And about that. So you need to get out. And yeah.
I'm just not, I don't know the story about Ann Richards somehow being responsible for that. Particularly
it was a big part of it.
Kind of
she
awesome.
Was a big train smoker. I'm not going to say she wasn't fantastic.
But she was a big moving guy because they had been
out,
here.
Dude.
They had been here. They did. They'd come here and stuff like that.
But it hadn't been since like 80, I think.
Exactly. And that's what
they never were here during my adult life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did see them when they played.
Bob Weir was just here.
Yeah, sure. I saw the. When they had.
I'm getting ready to go see. Oh my God. It just left my head. I'm sorry.
Train of thought derails.
Yeah. Yeah,
trying to think who you would be on
Damn Grateful Dead.
Yeah. ACL.
Well, yeah,
ACL.
It's like in a minute though. That's in October.
I have tickets again for that.
I've
been to every single one of them. We had tickets last year, and last year was the first time we actually gave tickets to nephews because there just wasn't a single act that was playing last year that I hadn't already seen that I felt like I really wanted to see. All the other ones before, it wasn't necessarily the headlines. I always liked learning new people or seeing obscure people I hadn't seen in a while or just people I hadn't bought a ticket for, like B-52s or something
sure.
like that. I saw Iggy fucking Pop.
I was
going to
say Iggy
Wonder,
Pop, Sound on Sound.
I mean, some
coming.
Just unbelievable things like that. But last year was... We had tickets and we gave them to my nephew.
Yeah, I remember that.
It just, there was nothing that made me want to go down and try to fight the park.
You
want to
go see Kendrick Lamar?
Hall & Oates is who I'm thinking of that I'm getting ready to go
I
see.
I would love to see Hall & Oates.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hall & Oates would be a good show.
Yeah, I want to say that, yeah, well, check it out. We'll check into it because, quite literally, they're getting ready to come to Cedar Park Center.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff
so
like that.
Oh, that's
so,
a good venue.
No, I saw that.
I saw Iggy Azalea.
The next two tickets I have
check it out,
are
I can't
Jason Isbell and
Sturgill Simpson. Those are the next two tips.
I saw that. Yeah. And you put on concerts at your house all the time. You put on all kinds
of... Jason Isbell's wife was... Amanda Shires was the very first house concert we ever had.
Damn.
Chris is how we got hooked up with... Johnny Dango, who's coming on.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Hello.
Very
cool. Memphis Strange.
Well, we've got some interesting episodes coming up. I mean, even
Johnny Dango.
He's great, though. I'm excited.
I'm currently working on Kinky Friedman to come on the show.
I'm going
to
tell you why I'm down on Kinky Friedman right now. I'm going to tell you why I'm down on him.
All right.
The Man in Black bullshit. He has this tequila called the Man in Black. Yeah, like, okay. he is somehow the man. That's fucking wrong. That's wrong and not cool. I'm a Kinky Friedman fan, but that's an... If you have Kinky on, that's an issue I have that I won't brought up.
They can throw it down.
They should not be calling himself the man in black.
You know me, and I am not beyond asking why that exists.
Please do, because that's something...
Please do.
Because otherwise, I'm a fan of Kinky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise,
I love Kinky, but we are getting ready for me.
Seems like a small thing to get over.
Exciting stuff.
Kinky.
We just did live from the Marble Falls Adult Soapbox Derby.
God, that was funny and hot as shit.
Oh my God!
Our computer stopped working.
Yeah, we literally found the working temperature differential of a Windows Surface.
Yeah, it was like 100 and a million degrees.
Yeah, it was at about 102 degrees. At about 102 degrees outside, your window surface will shut down, just to let you know.
Oh, you should have called Jeff here, man. He can fix you up.
Yeah, I don't think he can fix that.
Stand there with a fan?
Right? Just give us some shade.
A pizza box.
Yeah,
some dry ice.
You're very tall. You could have given us some shade.
But coming up...
I'm so cool, I just grasp it.
Come here, baby.
Rub some of that Shaq icy hot on.
Come here.
Oh, yeah. Like smear it all over, like.
Oh, gross.
Calms the nerves, ease the pain.
Calms everything.
But literally, coming up in July, we are so excited to finally be doing Dudes and Beer Sustainability Month. It's going to be fantastic. It was a concept that Julie came up with whenever she first came aboard, and we're making it happen.
I also like the tote bags.
Yeah, yeah. She gets all the fantastic
swag.
She's
all about a tote bag.
I do.
It's kind of cool, though.
I got Dudes and Beer cigars to me as a thank you.
That's cool.
Wait, tote bags. Can I go take those to HEB and put my groceries in them?
You can.
Instead of a...
You get your own damn tote bags. If she's gotten tote bags, that shit's mine, because I didn't even get a Dudes and Beer cigar.
No, I'm keeping all my swag, but feel free to keep it, Jimmy. I appreciate it all, and I will give you preferential
When you were doing the show with Jeff Lipton, I'm like, so, is that show going to be at the store? And he said, no, at the studio. I'm like,
No, we're going to do one at the store.
It's coming.
Literally.
It's coming.
I'm trying to work on them right now. Time, because we're getting ready to wrap up. If you got time, my friend,
I do love me some hand rolled cigars
right here. I got some with me.
It's a nice little case here too.
I haven't used this thing in years, but it's nice to be using it again.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
There is a ritual.
It's nice to be using it again.
I'm somebody that doesn't do cigarettes, but I love cigars and pipes.
There's a ritual to it. You draw it in with a pipe.
You pack it right.
There's something great to it. As we close out this episode, y'all, because it's been a little while.
Thank you guys so much
for coming on. I love it whenever y'all come on. We talk about all kinds of wild stuff. I want to have you on sometime soon, Jeff, to talk about internet security. And all the crazy things that happen just with internet security to begin with. People should watch themselves.
I realized we're a global society when I got the Nigerian email scam in Portuguese.
Yes.
That's when I knew that we were truly one big world.
That's right.
One scammy world.
I was supposed to wire some money to some Nigerian.
He's a prince.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That's exactly what it said.
He needs your help.
Mm-hmm. Princes don't have bank accounts. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say.
He was exiled, if I remember by the email.
Yeah,
Princess don't have bank accounts.
That's why he had a
bank. His father just died.
Really? Like, I'm not even shitting you. In all sincerity, you think Prince Harry is, like, rolling up to the fucking ATM with his card and, like, boop, 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 getting some cash? No! That's not how that shit works. So.
No, he gets shit handed to him. he just pries a jewel
out of the crown and says,
It's me.
Pop. How much can I get for this?
Here.
It's me, man.
It's from 11.
Does that cover me? The rest is for you.
Yeah. How do you know he's royalty? He's not covered in shit.
I kind of think the two. What is it? There's Harry and what's the other one?
William.
But yeah. Wouldn't
Willie.
When you think, I think like throughout history, wouldn't it be like. Like, eventually, okay, one of them's going to get the crown, right? Eventually?
William's going to get the crown unless Harry shanks him.
Exactly. Yeah. Therefore,
or his kids. Charlotte might shank him.
Therefore,
oh, she's so cute. Ooh. She can
history will repeat itself because one will try to get the other.
Well, maybe not. They seem pretty chill. Plus, also, what is the monarchy really? Like, they visit people when they're
figurehead.
Sick. I mean, yeah.
It's a figurehead.
Nobody's going to be...
Yeah.
There's
On that happy note.
Yeah.
2018, guys. Rock the boat.
Well, that's just it. Really, when it comes down
don't
to
get
it,
political, Julie Connor.
When it comes down to it,
I'm just telling people to vote. That
Julie's
not
the same. Julie is the same mindset that I am. If you're going to make a difference, you need to make a difference on that level, because the president does absolutely nothing to make that difference. It's the House. It's the Senate.
Well,
people that make and vote on the laws. The president can do nothing without their consent.
The president proposes, Congress disposes.
Let's think about that when we're voting.
Exactly.
You know, the president doesn't get any information on UFOs or anything because he's a temporary employee. The need to know process.
On
the
that
need
note.
To know.
Wait a minute.
Well,
is that a black helicopter right here?
Well. I don't know about all that. Yeah. But most definitely, that is time for us to wrap up this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. Thank you so much for everybody that's
need
been
to
listening.
Know.
Thank you so much for everybody that tuned in recently on the app and on dudesandbeer.com/live-now. Until next time, everybody, remember, if you can't be good,
be
good at it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Dudes and Beer podcast. To listen to our audio streams and chat with us live, download the official Dudes and Beer app for both Android and iDevices, available on the Google Play and iTunes markets. For more episodes, content, and information, visit us online at dudesandbeer.com. You can also find our episodes on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast service. Dudes and Beer is a proud member of the Revolution Digital Group family of podcasts. Thanks for listening, everybody, and until next time, drink responsibly.